The Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Friday morning. A little chilly out there. Excuse me. And we are sitting here operating under decaf mode right now. For some reason, the coffee didn't taste right to me. Reagan had made some coffee, as she usually does. She's faithful in that every morning. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe my palate's not working properly. Anyway, that sounded very, very good, didn't it? So yeah, we're sitting here, and we're going to probably get some coffee later on. Anyway, not to say that, babe, love your coffee as always. So here we are. It's Friday. Everybody's probably, again, as usual, the ending of the work week and things that have probably occurred. And so we go into the weekend and, you know, just basically kind of looking back over some of the stuff that's happened this week. And I can honestly say that God's provision is real. He takes care of us in so many ways, whether that be from our financial establishment to our physical ability to just as as even we were talking yesterday, as I was taking the kids to school, they just opened up a modular home area here, and one of the signs on the houses said like 79,000 dollars, and I said, "Oh, we get a house." He's like, "It's," and Anna's like, "Well, it's small. It's a small house." And I said, "Well," I said, "small or not, it's still something good to have a place to lay your head." And she said, "Well," she's like, "You do have a point." She agreed. I mean, she didn't say it in that fashion, but she kind of like said, "Yeah." But it is amazing just to kind of see those times where you have the opportunity to share with your kids about how they view things and how you should view things and what God has allowed you to have. And again, His provision is great. Thankful for all the ways in which God continues to work in my life, even in my time where I would say that there's a lot of hard-headedness. There's a lot of things within the confines of my being that need more help. And I need to be redirected by His word and how He sees fit to work in and through the life that He's allowed me to live. And so, yeah, we got to see some snow this week. Kids got to be a little late in their departure. And, yeah, we've, you know, come to the end here in James. And so we're at chapter 5, and we'll be concluding today with that. And then next week we'll jump into 1 Corinthians. And next Tuesday, we'll have a guest speaker. So excited. Going to try to do that, try to have somebody on, you know. I don't know if it'll always be Tuesdays. We might throw some tacos in there, right? Taco Tuesday. So, you know, however that comes about with scheduling. But, yeah, look forward to next week, or as James would say, don't boast about tomorrow. So we'll, if the Lord wills it to happen, then we'll carry on into next week. But I pray that you have a good weekend, and if you have some time to just be away from work, or you know, be with the family, hopefully you will also be in church Sunday. If you don't have a church to attend, I've never said this in the past, but just kind of thinking about it now, you're more than welcome to visit with us, Woodlawn Baptist Church in Lowell, North Carolina. That's Woodlawn Baptist Church in Lowell, North Carolina. And also, just on that same note, I did make a mistake the other day about the email. If you have any questions, You can email me directly. It's Chris. Well, let me pull it up because I'm probably going to misquote it again, because I know I had said it the other day, but then I was like, you know, I probably misspoke. So it's Chris@WBCLowell.com. Chris@WBCLowell.com. And again, if you don't have a church, home church, or a church that you're attending now, come on by and visit with us. Our services start at 11 a.m. We'd be glad to have you. Or if you're an early riser and you want to get there by 9:45, we also have Sunday school classes, and be glad to have you in either my class, or there's a variety of classes that you can choose from. So anyway, if you don't have a church, come on out and visit us. We would love to have you. So today we'll be concluding again, James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for precious produce of the soil, and being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? And he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I've said this in the past, and I think it's very true now, as in James alludes to when he describes being patient with each other. When you're raising children, I would say that patience is something that you do learn. And not that you probably even get it perfected, but it's a continual learning. And, you know, kids can literally drive you crazy. That's just how it is. But you know that the work and the effort and the time that you spend with these little creatures that God has given you and trying to do the best you can, you know. And what I mean by that is you think for a moment of little ones that are running rampant, and it's always something, right? It's a never stop. And you know, just what it is that you're raising those kids for. And for God's glory, and that, you know, they be raised under biblical truth. And so we know that it's a process in which we strive for as parents. And so as we learn the concept of being patient with our kids, being understanding, being calm, you know, and that calmness probably does reach a climax. You know, when things kind of happen. But I think that in dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's also the same in how we react towards them. Because we are people. We aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We hurt each other's feelings. We don't always know how to say what needs to be said, and sometimes we don't say anything at all. Sometimes the way in which we even say that we're going to commit to something, maybe it's not something that we think we should commit to, or we do commit to it and then we drop out of it. I mean, there's just a variety of ways in which people engage themselves in these relationships, and especially in our churches. But we come to this passage in James, and I think he is reminding us that we bear those burdens. We come along aside each other, just as what we do with raising kids. And we're not implying that those people that we're together with as a body of believers, that they're kids, but we're wanting to come alongside them and live with them, love them, whatever it takes to get us through. So then that way, again, the representation of the eternal family that God is preparing for us in his home, his heavenly home. He says, I go to make a place for you. So I think there's truth to our eternal home. And then in preparation for that we are striving to bear those burdens again with each other and to work through things with one another. And, you know, James here gives the reference of a farmer. And I think there's also truth to that in how we work with one another, you know, and how we're planting and cultivating those soils. Some soils are maybe softer than others, and some soils have more rocks. So as we cultivate, as we plant, as we harvest, as we wait, as we endure the seasons, just as the physical seasons of the heat, the winter, the fall, the spring, I think the same comparison could be said when we come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and all the many seasons that we face together, that there is a lot of patience that's brought through those moments. And so we learn and we mature. I think also that there's moments in which we are joyful and we celebrate with those in our church, and we rejoice for God working in the midst of people's lives. But also there's probably times of sorrow, and there's times of disappointment. Again, we're human, and people make mistakes. People sometimes don't always act the way that maybe you would hope they would. And, you know, we all probably have a different scale that we operate on. And that's, I know that probably could say, well, we should just have one scale. But the truth is that even though there is one way in which we should operate, and that is from the Bible, the takeaway is that we probably would even say this, is that not everyone hearkens and listens to what the Bible has to say for their life. There may be other things in which they measure their life by instead of what God's word mandates for them. And so therefore that produces more confusion than good, right? And but I think even in the midst of operating through those situations, we have to be patient with those people that maybe aren't so aware. And also, I just want, maybe need to say this while I'm implying that statement is, I'm not insinuating that that I have it figured out either. So I am going through sanctification as well, and so I have to be reminded that, you know, again, working alongside these brothers and sisters in Christ, as what James describes, be patient, merciful, just as Christ was merciful towards us. And I think that's the beauty. That's the beauty of what it means. And, you know, he goes on in verse 12, and this is also in Matthew 5, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. So be careful in how you speak to one another. Don't overpromise. Set boundaries. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Sometimes you can say yes and sometimes you can say no. And be wise about that with your interactions. I think that's very, very truthful. James goes on to speak of suffering, about sick and cheerful and praising. And then he describes if someone is sick, for the elders to pray over him. We've done that at our church. It's a humbling moment when you sit with someone that's dealing with a sickness, and you know, you see these people where that time of their life is just it's a lot, and your heart breaks because just the pain of it, you know. One of the biggest things that we've seen is cancer. And, you know, when cancer comes and just the news of it, and for people that their age is, you know, there's a lot there. There's still time, and they've got kids and grandkids, and so James is saying here in chapter 5, you know, let the elders come alongside them and pray. Cry out to God. And I would say that there have been times where my cries have been for healing. And I don't think it's wrong to cry out to our Heavenly Father to heal our bodies, especially on behalf of our brothers and sisters. But then again, his healing may not actually be as what we're thinking. His healing is it could be eternal, where he calls them home. So in the framework of which we operate, you know, my other prayer is God give that family the endurance and the strength to handle the pain. I'm glad that James gives the instruction for the elders of the church to pray for those who are sick. He goes on and describes confessing our sins to one another, praying for one another so that you may be healed. And then he basically says, you know, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, you know, that's so true. I mean, that has occurred where people stray from the church, from the body of believers. And you desire for them to come back and be a part of this church and to get connected. And, you know, sometimes that can be a process. Like going back to what he says, being patient with one another. Going back to the reference of raising kids, it takes time. And sometimes it can It can be a lifetime. You know, with the church that we're at now, we'll be going on, I think it's 7 years. Because let's see, we've been there as old as Owen is. Yep, and Owen is 7 years, 7 years old. And you know, when we first started attending the church that we're at now, I had shared with Reagan that you know, I wasn't getting any younger. I was 41. And I said, I feel that this is where we need to put the tent pegs down. Unless, you know, again, the Lord could always lead in other directions, but this is where we're at. And so we've been there. And in that time, man, there's been some good seasons. There's been some tough seasons. We went through COVID there. I think that was a lot of things that we didn't anticipate was for many people, many churches. We did our governing documents. But then I sit there and I think about 7 years. And then I think, if God allows it, what's 7 years down the road going to look like? I mean, my daughter will be 17 years old. Owen Lake will be 14. Yeah, I'll be a little older. Not going to say my age, but yeah. So we labor together for the glory of God. It's not always good. It's not always bad. There's a lot that happens. But I think just like a family, I think being faithful to what God's put you in and what He's allowed you to be a part of. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.